We are expecting. And recordings have started. Welcome everyone to the meeting of SPNR committee this evening. Just as per usual, under chairperson's remarks, that hopefully everyone can hear me clearly, and as we are currently on percented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of meetings. Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they may have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure, if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second. Again, please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as a proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. And as we have seen in a couple of meetings, people do continue to put comments into the instant messaging chat. If you do that, I will not bring you in as a new rule, and until you stop doing it. Okay.
Chair, can I declare an interest in item 20? It's Marie.
Yes, certainly, Bryn.
Yes, certainly, Bryn.
Okay. Is there any other declarations of interest?
Yes, there are declarations of interest.
None.
Okay. Just under chairperson's remarks, I just want to wish good luck to a couple of the teams in the next couple of days. For the Senior Football Championship between Kilcoo and Carrickduff, and in particular DJ Morgan, who does work for the council, who manages the Carrickduff team. It's the first ever time Carrickduff have made a Senior Football Championship. I'm sure DJ is the calm and collective person that he always has been, and we'll see how the result goes. In the Intermediate Football Championship on Sunday, the good old Saul face off against Drumgath, and we certainly hope that Saul come home with the cup on Sunday. And then the Junior Football Championship takes place between Auchness and Finn and St Paul's, and just want to wish all the clubs the very best of luck in each of those competitions. All right, folks, we'll move on then to Action Sheet 3, which we'll go through page by page just for accuracy. So the action sheets arising from the 13th of August, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5, and then I'll also take the 18th, which was the special meeting, page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4, and then obviously there's a letter with these as well. Is there any Like, proposer and seconder for those, please. Proposer Murray and seconded by Councillor Byrne. Is there any matters arising on that? Nope. Okay. Moving on then to item four, which is the Albert Basin presentation. We have both Tony and Alison here from Otium Consultancy. You're very welcome to the meeting in the virtual way of life. And Alison's just bringing up the presentation to share with us. So if I can just hand over to yourself, Tony.
Chair, thank you, and good evening to the committee. Thank you for this opportunity to present this report. Odium Leisure Consultancy is known to some of you, not to all of you. We've been doing this leisure and sports consultancy for about 25 years, and we do have some history with Newry and indeed with Down District Council, and as the combined new council, we prepared the economic appraisal for the Carlingford Lock Greenway and the Interreg application, which secured funding for that. And we're delighted to see part of that open, Chair, and benefiting the residents and visitors to Newry. we did take some aerial photographs, Chair. Let me just show that aerial photograph. And there are some photographs throughout the report. I understand members received the report, have received the report, and perhaps I have had a chance to go through some of it. So you will be aware of some of our presentation this evening from having read the report. The presentation will cover the terms of reference for the consultation, the council's terms of reference, the public consultation process, and then the large part of our presentation is the findings, then the key components, the key opportunities and the key challenges, and then finally some considerations and conclusions, Chair, at the end of our presentation. The council tasked us in commissioning us to do this work. They tasked us with asking questions, listening to what people told us, and then to report on that. So quite simply, it's a consultation process to ask, to listen, and to report. And whilst we have an empirical analysis of the survey, we also have many hundreds of open comments, Chair, which have been particularly interesting. And some of those are reflected in the body of the report, and they are all reflected in the appendices to the report. People are recognising that this city park, Newry City Park, however you wish to term it eventually, will be an attraction for locals and a catalyst for improving people's lifestyles. And that's the starting point is for the residents of Newry, but also for visitors to Newry as well. And it will assist in creating or evolving Newry's identity in the years to come. The consultation process, Chair, had several elements to it. The first one was at the end of January, before all of this COVID-19 lockdown. We delivered a face-to-face workshop with the stakeholder forum, and that was well attended, with 15 groups represented, local groups, regional groups, with a stake in what's happening, what's likely to happen at Albert Basin. And it was a very positive meeting, Chair, with statutory and community groups represented that evening. The online survey, which Alison will take us through, was open for 6 weeks and had 546 responses, which for this type of public consultation exercise compares extremely favourably with similar surveys that we have done previously, Chair. We also delivered online workshops, and these workshops were intended initially to be face-to-face in Downpatrick and in Newry. And that obviously wasn't possible with lockdown. They were scheduled during March, so they were hit on the head. But eventually we were able to suggest a solution to these workshops to the council, and we ran with that. So during June and early July, we ran these online workshops. And we felt that people engaged very positively in those workshops, Chair. And we were pleased with the attendance at that, certainly the registrations and the eventual attendance and the outcomes of those workshops. We also had a design challenge for children and young people. We think that probably was hit by COVID-19 towards the end of term that was put out to the schools. We did get responses, Chair. Perhaps we would have got more if COVID-19 hadn't been exercising schools, school principals and school teachers. But what we did get was very encouraging, Chair, and we have reported on that in the main document. And finally, we had a number of key stakeholder interviews, Chair, with local groups, for example, Newry Course Fishing Angling Club, Newry 2020, Newry Chamber, etc., right through to regional groups such as the Lochs Agency, the Woodland Trust, and groups like that, Chair. So they're reported in full also. And all of that information is brought together in the report, and we have reported fairly comprehensively on having asked the questions, having listened to the responses, and we feel we've reported fairly comprehensively. I think now, Alison, I'm able to hand over to you.
Yes. So can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yep, great. So I want to take you through the a summary of what we found through our consultation process, and particularly hone in on the key components, the key opportunities, and the key challenges that were identified by the people that we spoke to or the people that responded to this survey. So just by way of a very broad summary, it was very clear across the board from whatever mechanism people responded that green space and the paths and trails that traverse that green space was what seemed to be of paramount importance. To put that into context, 66% of the people who answered our questions told us that green space was the number one or number two priority for them in terms of how the Elbert Basin would be developed. What they also talked about was a flexible open space, very limited fixed infrastructure, very much focusing on an open space that any infrastructure that was there would be flexible or multi-purpose in use. To quote one of our attendees at a workshop, the best parks in the world don't try to be anything more than a green or wooded area. People will make use of the spaces whatever way they see fit. And that was a tone that we find was reflected across the whole of the consultation process. That said, there was a strong sentiment that came through about the value of amenities such as seating, such as toilets, and such as refreshments. People with mobility issues in particular highlighted the need for seating, and it was felt that it just wasn't possible to have a space like this and not have access to toilets. 327 people out of the 500 and something that responded to the survey had provision of refreshments as a number one priority within any kind of commercial development. So people want this to be a space where they can go and where they can spend time, and where parents can grab a cup of coffee whilst their children play, where they can get an ice cream and things like that. The other thing that came through strongly as well was the fact that this is a site that is 15 acres of land, but there is also a huge amount of water that makes up the site for development. So it came through very strongly that people wanted to see the use of the water or the access to the water as an integral element of the park. And how the park would connect to the rest of the city and beyond came through strongly as well. So whether that be with pedestrian access, how that might be managed, the connectivity through the greenway and to other cycle paths. And then we also had what I describe as the dog dilemma, which is the need to strike a balance between dog owners and dogs and facilitating their use of an open space, but also the potential negative impact of that. So not everybody loves dogs to the same extent, and then you've also got issues around the management of dog waste, etc. So the next slide, one of our questions was, describe your ideal city park in three words. And you can see from this slide that the words that came through very strongly imply an open, green, relaxing space. They're not talking about a hive of activity. They're not talking about a lot of events and buildings, etc.
It's the phrase green, whether that be green and open, green space, just the word green, open space, spacious, relaxing and accessible. Those are the terms that people think of a city park in the Albert Basin in. And so then that's reflected as well in terms of the key components that they identified as part of the consultation process, because by far the strongest need expressed was the need for a green space that was accessible to the public. What we heard from respondents was that they want a park where they can walk, they can cycle, they can run, and where they can teach their kids how to ride a bike. We explicitly asked about play, so play did come through strongly in terms of a priority for how this space would be used. We asked that question explicitly, but what's interesting is that whilst we only got a handful of responses from children, when children were asked to design the Albert Basin Park, they didn't dominate it with a play area. The play area was a small section within the wider development. And the integration of water, which I mentioned earlier, there was a real interest expressed in ponds or fountains and also water sports facilities. And I don't mean jet skis. I mean the much quieter, shall we say, water sports activities such as stand-up paddleboarding or kayaking, etc. And there's also, there is a strong response within the report around including a skate park and including outdoor exercise equipment as part of the development. We asked people to identify their priorities in terms of how they felt that the land could and should be used. And so as you can see, green space came out top. If you were to combine green space and woodland, you really do have a very nature-focused response in terms of how people expect the space to be used. Commercial use is there. It's not ruled out by people by any stretch of the imagination, but they were very clear that it was commercial use in the sense of something quite flexible, something small and something in keeping with the development of the park and to meet a need. So things like the access to the water sports or the provision of refreshments. And parking is there. There's an acknowledgement that there needs to be some kind of thinking and something provided around parking. But because Tony mentioned that we had hundreds of responses and hundreds of very open responses, we very deliberately asked very open questions. So really the only limit on what could be suggested in terms of components for the park was people's imagination. But we did get some very strong themes coming through, some which you may have expected and some which you may find surprising. So 20% of respondents identified the need for a skate park. 26 talked about a pond, and another 19% about a fountain. I'm not sure if the significant enough interest in outdoor exercise equipment is a reflection of the times in which the survey and the consultation was undertaken. It was taken at a time where people couldn't meet indoors and they were trying to find ways to be healthy and be active outdoors. Water sports facilities, as I mentioned, was very much around things like kayaking and boating and rowing and some really interesting ideas around how that might work. So things like pedalos or opportunities to go up and down on kayaks or on rowing type boats. And then there were another couple of smaller levels of interest, but quite interesting things for inclusion. So 7% of our respondents indicated an interest in the marina and 6% in a basketball court. Just as many people wanted a space where there could be outdoor Pilates and yoga as wanted a marina included in the site. And then there was also the idea of including a pontoon to encourage access to the water. This slide gives you an idea of the many different suggestions that there were around how the water that is within the Albert Basin area could be integrated within the development of the park. So there is, as you can see, there's ponds, there's sports, and there's fountains and features, and really making the most of that incredible asset. And that asset really leads us into the fact that there are so many opportunities that are available within the development of the Albert Basin site. And the residents of Newry who responded to this survey weren't short on ideas of what those opportunities might be. And this consultation and the idea of the development of the park was largely positively received. It was perceived as a key opportunity for the city in terms of connectivity, in terms of promoting health and well-being, and in terms of being able to contribute to the regeneration of the city centre. It was seen by people who we spoke to and who responded to the survey as a space which could facilitate public and community events. And those events ranged in scale from festivals and family fun days through to seasonal events, through to suggestions for concerts for local bands, but also things like park runs and angling competitions, food and cultural festivals. The water-based activities I've mentioned already, but there was also suggestions that linked to the idea of a flexible open space, that there could be things like organised activities such as outdoor exercise classes or boot camps, arts and crafts, children's activities, and then things that could be done on a much more irregular basis, such as outdoor cinema events or markets, be they regular or seasonal, and seasonal events like Halloween fireworks displays or concerts around Christmas time and things like that. But no development on a scale like this is without challenges, and the respondents to the survey were clear about those challenges as well, but they were also clear on what some of the solutions might be. And the park feeling like a safe space for all users was of real importance to the respondents, and they talked about solutions being things like adequate lighting, some sort of surveillance, whether that be the likes of a voluntary Love Your Park group, or by the fact that if the park was encouraged to be used all the time by lots of different people, that nearly provided that security and safety by default. Cleanliness and maintenance was a real issue that came up. People are keen that when this is done, that it is maintained on an ongoing basis. There's a suggestion in some of the responses about that there are responsibilities within the community to actually promote keeping that things clean, but also ensuring that there are enough litter bins, for example, to be able to manage things like waste. There was some concern expressed by respondents, but I would have to say not a high number relative to a whole lot of the other things that were raised. There was some concern expressed about the potential for antisocial behaviour or for drug or drink abuse within the confines of the park. But there was also, as I say, this solution-focused approach where people were saying things like design it in a way that you don't create the dark spaces that can enable that kind of thing to happen. And there is a really strong sentiment right throughout responses about the eco-awareness and the eco-credentials of this development. And respondents talked about using natural materials, that any development in the park needs to really speak to its surroundings, speak to the views that exist further on down the canal, the use of recycled materials, the promotion of the ecology and the promotion of the awareness of the ecology of the water, as well as the development itself. And adequate amenities, there was one respondent who said, whenever you decide a number of benches to put in, double it, and then you might actually have the right number of benches for people to use. So people are very aware of things like toilets and seating and refreshments, and they're important to them. And they feel that it's important for them, those facilities and amenities, to be there in order to facilitate them to use it, to go there and to stay there, as opposed to have to leave. And generally speaking, in terms of parking, there's an acknowledged need for some parking. The best quote that we had, I suppose, around parking was, find a solution which doesn't detract from the overall development. But there is that acknowledgement that there needs to be provision of parking in some shape or form, and that it can't really be a site where there's no parking made available at all. Tony, do you want to take over for considerations and conclusions?
You might be on mute, Tony, just in case you are talking.
Apologies, Chair. Thanks, Alison, for that. As Alison has said throughout her presentation, the consultation was positively received, and we feel that one of the outcomes is this opportunity to maintain the momentum and the buy-in from the community. Certainly they bought into the consultation process, and they were very appreciative chair of the council's commissioning of this consultation process, and they did state that to us. We do see a need, as some people did suggest, and we would agree that there's a need for a master plan for the site, chair. Not to do this development in an itty bitty sort of way, but to have a master plan. And we understand that you're moving forward with that and considering how best to design it with the information that we have provided within the consultation process. So we would expect that the council would consider that people can buy into and see, well, that's how it's going to end up. And then perhaps it could be phased approach as and when funding becomes available. There is a challenge and a bit of a dilemma. You will have seen from Alison's presentation that there are a great many ideas and a great many sort of themes of development within the park. And that presents the dilemma to include. And we haven't made a judgment on that, Chair, in our report. We're simply reporting what the people have been saying. But there is this challenge of balancing ambition and available space. It's 15 acres of ground plus the water space. So that is a particular challenge that we don't try to put too much in, that it becomes too busy. And Alison did quote somebody saying that the best parks and global parks are ones that simply concentrate on the green. It may be slightly more than that, but I think the challenge is not to try to do too much and sort of create a busy area that the people get confused by. And the final consideration is to start small, give people the confidence that change is occurring and that their ideas matter. And I think in doing this consultation process, the council has demonstrated to the people of Newry and the people of Newry Morning Down District that their ideas do matter and that you have been listening to them. So thank you to the council officers and to the staff, Chair, for their assistance in us delivering this consultation project for you. And we wish the council well as you take it forward.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tony and Alison, for that very detailed presentation. We do have a couple of councillors that have indicated to come in, so I'll bring in Councillor Savage first.
Yes, Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, can hear you, Michael.
Chair, firstly, I want to thank Tony and Alison and the team at ODM for an excellent piece of work. This consultation, I believe, can be held up there with the very best of examples of community consultation. If you take that against the backdrop of COVID in which we've been operating, I think it makes it all the more impressive. And I'd like to thank them most sincerely for the work that they've done. And been a member of the Task and Finish Group, we were able to dissect this in great detail. Chair, I believe tonight marks a pivotal moment in the campaign to develop the 15-acre park at the Albert Basin in Newry. And Chair, I'm happy to propose the recommendations that we move to appoint in the paper that's attached the design consultants to commence the design work so that we can get on with delivering the much craved park for our city. I appreciate the need for any significant project to have a master plan, but this project, it's not a leisure centre or a theatre. It's an ever-evolving public space facility which will evolve with every generation, and I really hope that we'll be here to enjoy it in the next 200 years or so, for the people of Newry, South Down, South Armagh, and well beyond. Chair, I want to home in on the last reference in the conclusions, slide 14. But Chair, I'd remind colleagues that the council has passed a motion stating that we will deliver a park at the Albert Basin within this council term. And I believe we owe it to our public to show that we're serious about delivering on that commitment. As a result, Chair, as well as proposing that we move to appoint a design team and allocate the associated budget, I believe we should move as quickly as possible to make a significant start on this project, not just a small start. And that's why I propose that in parallel with the appointment of the design team, that we now move to the appointment of the project board so that it is in situ when the design team is appointed and takes up its brief. Chair, that leads me also to propose that as part of the significant start, and being true to the three core threads of the public response to the consultation, namely open green space, the linkage of trails and the greenway, and of course the need for a play area that the project board sets out a phased approach to the project, with phase one delivered within this council term, with the following work potentially being scoped out and delivered. That being namely the capping of the site, which has been identified previously where it is required, and the greening of the site and the development of pathways linking the site to our esteemed greenway. The development of a regional play park on the capped area of the site should also be looked at within phase one. So that makes, I believe, the statement that we are true to the motion, and it leaves time for the development on the remaining green space open canvas that remains, that would embody all the other suggestions that have come through from the consultation process. So I know by moving to a project board that we'd be moving on from the task and finish group in its current form. But I want to acknowledge the work that the people involved in Newry 2020, Newry Maritime, Newry Bid, and the many, many other organisations and community groups that have fed into this consultation from all walks of life and all sections of our community. This is a community project, one which the SDLP have been very strong in promoting from day one and supporting from day one. And I believe that we need to deliver this park for the people of Newry within this council term. And that's why, with the attached paper and proposals and recommendations that have come with the attached papers from the officers, I would be proposing tonight that we appoint the design team as part of the recommendations, but that we also move forward now in putting a project board in place with the approach that we aim for a phase one within this term. That will allow us to budget within the rates process within this term. It will also allow time on a phase basis beyond that to seek involvement from government departments and other outside bodies to source funding. Chair, I'm led to believe that the Department of Communities, from officials within that and conversations that I have had, are very keen to be involved in this project. They see it as something that is right up the department street. And I believe that, you know, I'm hopeful that members from all parties will work in trying to encourage the department to get involved from day one when the project board is appointed. Chair, this is a flagship project for our city. It is certainly, from the SDLP's perspective, our number one priority to be delivered within this council term. And I certainly, as a Newry councillor, know from the response that we have got on the doorsteps and on the streets of this city for the last number of years, that this is something that our people crave. And Chair, I would commend the Odium for the great work they've done in doing this. I think the response that we have got from the local community, the involvement in this process, even with the backdrop of COVID-19, shows how much the people of this city wants. And sir, I would be making that proposal tonight on the back of this. And again, I'd like to thank Tony and Alison for the excellent work that they've done. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Thank you. Just before bringing Councillor Enright, Councillor Murphy, you are next a second. Can I just check if you're happy, if you're seconding what Councillor Savage has proposed just?
Yeah, I'd also like to commend the team as well, Tony and Alison, for all the work that they've done. And I'm very much heartened by the amount of input, you know, and response, you know, from people on the ground. This is definitely an exciting and excellent project. And yeah, I concur with everything that Michael has said, and I most definitely will be seconding the proposal.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Murphy. I'll go back. Sorry, Councillor Enright, you're in with the question.
Thanks, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Yep,
I'm unmuted. I'm really delighted for the people of Newry that they're getting such a green space that's linked to long-distance walking trails and potentially to canoe trails. I've only one bit of a reservation, and it's just a bit worrying from the point of view of being a Downpatrick councillor, and the fact that the Downpatrick master plan contained a plan to use council and other public sector land to create a Coyle River Basin master plan park some 10 years ago, relating to linking to the Lochale Way and linking the Mounded Down, as it was in medieval times, by footbridge to Inch Abbey, and the reopening the walks around the cathedral. Now, this would be far less expensive, of course, than any proposal that would of this kind in Newry. So I'm just flagging up that we have a very similar proposal, which has been well overtaken by a new proposal in Newry of a very similar kind, linking long-distance trails, canoe trails, linking tourism centres and giving people a green space in the centre of Downpatrick that they can use. Now, that doesn't take away from the importance of having these facilities in Newry, but given the much easier prospect of developing a Coyle River Basin and how it's situated and highlighted in the Downpatrick Master Plan as a keynote project by the council, I think possibly Downpatrick councillors need to now seek support from Newry councillors
I do appreciate where you're coming from. I really do. And what you're saying, I fully agree. But we should maybe have that as an item to ERT for discussion. We are discussing the Albert Basin in particular, and some of your comments were in reference to the particular item that's being discussed. And I do appreciate where you're coming from.
If we
can keep it just to Albert Basin, please. Okay. But I do agree, so we should raise that to ERT.
We'll work together on it.
Yeah. Okay. Councillor Brown, you're next on my list. Or Councillor Murphy, did you have anything further to add? Or you were happy enough? Sorry.
No, I've said what I need to say. I'm happy enough to second you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Brown?
Thanks, Chair. No, I was really just going to second that, but I see Declan's in before there, so that's grand. Just to say thank you to the consultants for an excellent report, very comprehensive, and echo the comments of Councillor Savage before me there as well.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Riley, that's not a cue, it's a comment, but I will bring you in. Given that you're not a committee member, I am quite generous in that way, so I'll bring you in for your quick comment.
Yeah, Chairman, thanks very much. I would just like to put on record that Councillor Savage and Stokes have done a tremendous job in pushing that forward. I think only for them we wouldn't be this far. But I was under the impression initially that the people in Newry wanted a lot more tree planting than what's been proposed. Indigenous species trees, that type of thing. But certainly great work. And the other issue is, if this can be got spade ready pretty quickly, this National Shared Prosperity Fund or whatever it is, they're looking now for spade ready schemes, so we could actually get that up and running pretty quickly. But good work, everybody.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. All right, folks, there's no one else indicated to speak on that, so we do have a proposal by Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Murphy, to take the officer's recommendation to establish a project board that it's in place with the design team appointed to look at a phased approach being delivered in this council term, particularly at those capped areas and green space areas. Is everyone in agreement? Yep. All right, we'll move on to the next item, which is item number 5. Thank you very much, Tony and Alison from ODM Consultancy. Great work from yourselves. So thank you very much. Okay, moving on then to item 5, which is the assessment of performance 2019-2020. And that's over to yourself, Dorina.
Thank you, Chair. Members, we're presenting tonight the assessment of performance for the 2019-20 year. You'll be familiar with this document, statutory requirement to produce it. It has now been reviewed by the Northern Ireland Audit Office. There's a statutory requirement to publish this by the 30th of September. And we are noting in this report as well that our usual publication of our performance looking back going forward is delayed due to COVID-19 and the restrictions and delays to our corporate plan. So we're asking for your approval tonight of the report and of its publication by the statutory deadline of the 30th of September.
Okay. Thank you, Dorina. Proposed by Councillor Byrne. Do we have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Dorn. Any questions?
Just on the proposal, Chair, just a brief comment, because the document that's attached, quite a hefty document, and again, I say this every year, but it is a great tool for us to look back and see the successes of the council and build for going forward. But we always see those wee red faces that pop up, and it's planning time and time again. And it's something that we really need to get to grips with. One of the things that did worry me in the document is the slight change. I think we're victims of our own success in our recycling rates going from last year, in that there was an increase. I think there was a 16% increase in the waste that was sent to landfill. So again, and there's going to be changes in that directorate, and also the other piece on street cleanliness, which we need to see improvements on going forward. And I'm aware of changes in the Neighbourhood Service Directorate is going to make that tough, but it's something that we need to have a particular focus on, because it's 2 or 3 years in a row that we've seen the same failings in those areas. So just a note on that, and whoever had put together that document, again, kudos to them, because it's brilliant for looking at us councillors and measuring where we need to be this time next year.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Byrne. If there's no other questions or comments, folks, we do have proposer and seconder, and everyone's in agreement. Yep, okay, moving on then to item number 6, which is the Performance Audit and Assessment Progress Report, Implementation of the Proposal for Improvement 2019-2020. And we're back to you, Dorina.
Yeah. So again, we're just presenting this report to you tonight. You will see the continuous improvement points that have been achieved by the council summarised for you at 2.1 of the report. The performance is reviewed annually by the Northern Ireland Audit Office, and recommendations for further improvements are made, and our officers work on those recommendations. Some of those are laid out for you at 2.4. So again, we're asking the committee tonight to consider this report and approve it.
Okay. We have a proposal from Councillor Murray. Do we have a seconder? I have a SW from Councillor Savage, but I think that's meant just to be an S, maybe. So we'll take it as an S, Councillor Savage seconding that. Is there any questions or comments? Nope. All right, everyone's in agreement. We'll move on to item number 7, which is the assessment and update of emergency business plans. And Dorina, I believe you're coming in first.
Yeah. So you'll be aware, members, that our normal business planning process was somewhat disrupted this year by COVID-19. In response to that, we decided, with your agreement, to produce emergency business plans that are shorter term in nature, and the first one, the April to September period, was really dealing with the COVID-19 emergency. So we're presenting to you tonight our mid-year assessment of those plans to date. We've also laid out for you at section 2 the reporting framework and all of the impacts that COVID-19 have on that, how that's been pushed back. So tonight we present to you the reports that typically feed into this committee, that relating to the Corporate Services Directorate and the Chief Executive's Directorate. And we're asking for your approval of those mid-year assessments tonight. I can take any questions, and Marie's on the call as well for any on the Chief Executive's Directorate. So looking at proposer and seconder, and happy to take any questions.
Okay, we have a proposal of Councillor Byrne, but he's got a question, and seconded by Councillor Savage.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, it's not so much a question, but more a comment on a few things. Well, maybe there's one question thrown in at the end. I agree with the Director of Business Plans being suspended, you know, for this period, and then moving to the emergency business plans and the two business plans that's there. I suppose when you're reading through them, what you get is, and this has to be expected, that some and a lot of the activities have been postponed or delayed, or so be it, due to the change in the working environments through COVID. And I think over the next 6 months or whatever, we need to have a focus on advancing those activities. You know, some of them can be advanced through, some of them are training based, some of them are like the PB, participatory budgeting, trying to get feedback in it, find two other DEAs to try and roll out more funding on that. And I think things like that can be advanced. I've said this in the audit committee before, where we could fall into the trap of saying, well, due to COVID, we can't. And I think we need to find ways that we can in the new working environments. Also on the climate change actions, it's one of the ones that got the wee small, sad red face. And I know the subgroups hadn't met by that stage, but the climate change and sustainability subgroup had met today. And I think there needs to be an onus on, especially through the chief executive and corporate service there, an onus of trying to have some of those actions built into the community plan. Again, we can't keep just referring to COVID. And the last point I wanted to say was supporting the efficiencies working group. It's one of the ones that I had been speaking about for the last 8 to 10 months, and Councillor Hanlon, Sinn Féin's Councillor Hanlon as well, and asking for greater support for that. And I just want to put on record the movement. I know on here it says that there was online meetings of the EFG, but the movement from EFG to strategic finance has been brilliant. I mean, the first meeting of strategic finance was a serious amount of detail and a lot of work. And I suppose some of that climate change work can come in on the DAT remit as well, on the SFWG. So I think that's work well done. So the 2 points I do want to make at the end is the capacity building training. Use the online tools. I mean, the online training that we had for some of the IT stuff was brilliant. And I know in the last paper we talked about audit with SPNR training couldn't go ahead. There's no reason why it can't go ahead if we use the online tool. And I just want to commend officers for operating effectively during the lockdown. I think that has to be commended. Thanks.
Okay. Councillor Savage, you're just saying that you didn't have anything. You're just happy to second. Yeah. Councillor Enright, you have a question?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to pick up on what Councillor Byrne was suggesting there. At the Sustainability Forum, on a number of occasions, I have attempted to have items passed through to the strategic, the finance forum, given the amount of money that we could potentially be losing by not paying attention to climate change items. Two I'd like to bring to Councillor Byrne's attention would be a survey I did of councils with similar wind resources to us in Ireland. And the average seems to be about 20% of their rates base coming from wind farms. I have a table of them. And similarly in Northern Ireland, the councils in Derry, Tyrone and Fermanagh are doing very well, talking about millions of pounds worth of rates.
Because, of course, they have
canvassed their networks.
Sorry, Councillor Enright, I'll continue to talk over you as you continue to talk over me. Again, how is this in relation to the item that's before us?
Well, Councillor Byrne suggested that we really ought to refer key climate change items to the Finance and Efficiency Committee. And I agree, because we're talking about millions of pounds that we could be making for our council. And that wouldn't cost us a penny. We can simply take that money and bank it and stop increasing the rates.
So there are
several other examples like that that I could give you.
Yeah, so, and that's probably for the strategic finance working group that you can present those examples to, but not particularly on this item, which is in relation to the assessment and update of emergency business plans. So again, if we could just keep to the item that's before us, do you have anything further on that, Councillor Enright?
Other than to agree entirely with what Pete Byrne said, but try and put it into practice as well.
Okay, all right, thank you. Councillor Byrne, you're looking back in.
No, retract my question, it's gone off topic. Okay. We'll pick it up on SFWG.
Okay, and Councillor Hanlon.
Well, it's not in relation to the topic, but in relation to Councillor Enright's comments. He actually sits on the Strategic Finance Working Group, but I don't think you were there, Cadogan, so we'd welcome your input the next time, please.
Okay, all right. We have a proposer and seconder from Councillor Byrne and seconded by Councillor Savage, and we're all in agreement on that? Yep. Okay, moving on then to item number 8, which is the consultation on the Code of Conduct for Local Government Employees. And this was before us and has came back, and I'll just hand over to Katrina.
Chairman, thank you. Yes, as you say, this matter was considered by the committee at the August meeting, and members provided some feedback on that and asked that those be considered and incorporated into the Council's revised response. For ease of reference, members, you'll see at 1.2 that I have highlighted any changes in red in the actual consultation response, which is provided at Appendix 1. Within the paper then, members, I have dealt with each of the issues raised, and at 2.1 in relation to the NAC Code of Conduct, I have been in contact with the Local Government Staff Commission, and as the report says, a meeting is being arranged with NAC subsequent to submitting the paper with the PNR papers during the week. The director from the Commission has actually been through and confirmed that the meeting is taking place on Monday the 28th of September. So that item, that matter is being progressed through the Local Government Staff Commission members. In relation then to the other provisions, I have set out the details at 2.2 and at 2.3 of the report, both in terms of the query that was raised and the amendment to the consultation response, which is included at Appendix 1. So I'm hoping, Chairman and members, that this deals with all of the points raised, and we will submit the response then through with your approval. Thank you, Chairman.
I think it has, Katrina. We have a proposal.
Judging by the, yes.
Proposal.
Very happy. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Murray. And second by Councillor Byrne, do you either have comments, or are we happy just proposing second?
Yeah, quickly, Chair, I'm very happy to propose it, and thanks to Katrina just for obviously the good body of work that was done. The questions that were all raised are well documented in it, and the Council's response to them, so fair play to her, and happy to propose, yeah.
All right, thank you, Councillor Murray. And Councillor Byrne, you're happy to second?
Yeah, happy to second. Thanks, Chair.
All right. And everyone's in agreement. Yep, perfect. All right, folks, moving then on. Thank you, Katrina. To item number 9, which is the presentation of the 2021 annual report and the Newry and Mourne Down Connect. And that's yourself, Regina. Or no, sorry, Drina. Drina.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, you'll be aware that for the last number of years, we have published an annual report, which is called NMD Connect. We published this to coincide with the annual setting of the district rate. We've engaged with members through the Party Representatives Forum and with the respective political parties, and taken some very useful feedback as to your comments and what you would like to see included in that report going forward. That feedback also suggested that members do see a real value in this publication. So we're recommending tonight and asking for approval that we publish an annual report, taking on board your comments as to items to include in it, with versions in English and Irish published on the website and supported by a limited print run. This has been the approach that we've ran in the last 2 years. So asking for a proposer and seconder tonight, Chair.
Okay, folks, do we have a proposal from Councillor Murray? Do we have a seconder? Councillor McGuinness is second on mine. Yeah, Councillor Murray.
Just briefly, Doreena, thanks a million again. And I probably raised this last year and the year before as well. So I would really appreciate the few prints that are made out in Irish. And I agree, I wouldn't be campaigning or asking for any more than has been done before. I had asked originally that copies be sent out to the eldest class in our Gaelscoileann and in our Irish medium schools, and probably to secondary school, so that children across the district and in secondary schools out there who are studying in Irish will get a grasp of what the commitments are of the council and that, and be able to use that terminology then when they're talking about the council maybe in oral exams out there. So fair play to the council for the Connect programme out there, and just keep it up.
Okay, thank you. And Councillor McGuinness, you're happy second?
Yes, I'm happy to second, Gareth, yep.
All right, thank you. Councillor Savage, are you coming in with a comment or happy enough?
I was just going to second, but in a bit me to it, Chair.
All right.
Second, thanks.
Thanks, Nigel. And Councillor Byrne.
Very briefly, just on the comments that Councillor O'Murray had said, brilliant idea, sending out to the schools, fully support that, if that can be advanced, because getting material in Irish that is connected to the council so they can learn about the ongoings of the council as well, brilliant idea, fully support.
Okay, perfect. Is that something we can do, Doreena?
Yes, Chair, that is something that we've done in previous years, and that's built into our budget for this year. I think we will just have to, so it's not due to publish until February 2021, depending where we are with COVID. We will need to engage with the schools to see if they are receptive to print media coming into the schools. Schools are all in different places with that at the minute, so closer to the time, and depending on where things are, we'll engage with the schools. But should they wish to do that, that's we've got budget to do that. So we'll go ahead on that basis.
All right, thanks, Doreena. And everyone's in agreement with that? Yeah, all right. Then moving on then to item 10, which is the membership of the party representative forum. And that's yourself, Marie.
Yeah, Chair, thank you very much, and hopefully you can hear me okay. I suppose the paper is in front of members. This follows the request via Councillor Brown following the establishment of a technical group incorporating the Alliance Council members and three of the five independent members of Council. I'm not going to go through the paper verbatim. The recommendation is around this being a decision for the Council, so I've put this before the committee for you to make your decision.
Okay, thanks, Marie. Councillor Brown, you're up first.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So I'd like to propose the inclusion of our grouping as laid out there in the appendix, with Councillor Tinley as our group leader and representative on that Party Leaders Forum, providing that the group membership stays at the five members at least, as outlined there. Nothing has changed in our opinion on this since the first term of council or the last term of council, except the political attitudes to alliance and independence, because of the electoral threat that we now pose to many of the larger parties. And we were on it in the last term of council. I was on it as a group leader for the first month of this term. Then we were off it again. Then Alliance was allowed on it during lockdown. And then we were kicked back off again. So there's a complete lack of clarity and transparency around this group, which is part of the reason why we as a grouping wanted to make sure we had this decision made in SPNR this evening. And also, other parties can't use the argument that they don't know who is in and out of our grouping, because I think it's very clear now what the membership is there and what our terms of reference and membership rules are too. But it's really important democratically that we have a clear decision on this, because we currently have an agenda-setting body. I appreciate it's not a decision-making body, but it does set the agenda and it does discuss very important matters. It currently excludes over 10% of elected members to this council. That's a huge democratic deficit, and it excludes democratically elected members from discussing vitally important matters. So on that basis, and I've referenced this in the letter and in the email to Marie, that we will be seeking legal advice as a grouping, depending on the outcome of this paper and what happens. I'd also like to seek clarification from Marie or whichever officer regarding why there's no equality impact assessment on this paper, given that the decision could represent unequal treatment of certain political parties and councillors in the council. So I'd like to just, it seems strange that there isn't some consideration of the equality impacts of this decision within the paper.
Okay. I'll bring Marie back in on that question before I bring any other councillors in. So Marie, just on that question around the equality impact assessment.
Yeah, Chair, that's an oversight on my part on the end of the paper. However, I have sought legal advice just on that, of which I'd have to actually dig it out at this point, around the quality and whether we needed to do an equality impact assessment. So I would have to just try and find that in my emails at this point, but there's no issues around the equality impact from the memory of the legal advice that we have received previously.
Okay. To be honest, I mean, I really think we should be having sight of that before making a decision on this, Marie, if there is legal opinion.
You're on mute, Marie.
If we're going to have legal advice, we would have to go into in committee and close session.
Yeah.
I'm happy to propose that.
Okay. Do we have a seconder to go into closed session? Councillor Enright. Do we need all agreement to go into closed session? No. Okay. I'm taking the shaking of head of Drina. All right, folks. So on the proposal of Councillor Brown, Councillor Enright, we are going into closed session. So I will have to ask the members of the public to leave the fertile room for the discussion of the item, and then we will certainly invite you back in. And I'll just wait to either Colette or Donna tell me that we're good.
All good to go.
Okay. So. Okay, and the meeting recording has restarted. So just while we were in closed session, the chief executive provided a overview of the legal advice that was provided. So if I can bring in Councillor Walker then.
Sure, thank you very much. I'll just state it. Going back a number of weeks ago, I had spoke to Councillor Brown in relation to this, and I said that I wasn't hung up whether the group come on, but it would have to be all-inclusive of every independent, the two alliances and the independents. I now am aware that there is two independents that wants nothing to do with it, so I believe it's not all-inclusive, so I wouldn't be supporting it. It's not a decision-making body. So it's not anything that's discussed comes back either to full council or to the relevant committees, and it can be dealt with there. If some of these independents or alliance don't like what's coming forward, that's where they can then challenge it. So they can, you know, they turn around and say they're a technical grouping. They went out to the electorate seeking a mandate. They got a mandate, yes they did, they got a mandate, but they got a mandate for numerous reasons. You know, Councillor Riley wouldn't have the same aspirations, for example, as Councillor Malone, so they wouldn't. They went out there to the public who voted them in. Maybe if the Alliance Party would maybe pull away from the rest of the independents and turn around, because they are a bona fide party. The two members argue the toss then that as an alliance party, we should be in there. So we should, you know, if he wants in that badly. And that, now, this is a political decision that will be taken. And because that the all independents aren't within this grouping, I can't back it. And my party can't back it in relation to it, and that, you know, as I've said, all the information, anything discussed, comes back to full council or the relevant committees, and that. And, you know, is it maybe just somebody on an ego trip? I don't know. But maybe if a Alliance Party maybe wants to have a chat, I'm not telling them what to do, but if they want to have a chat with themselves, the two members, and then come forward and maybe put proposals they got forward, that's a different ball game. So it is. But our party can't support it. I would actually make a proposal that we keep it the way it is, the four main parties. We've taken a decision, a political decision, that you had to have three elected members to come on to this. You know, they're calling themselves a technical group, and they've 5, 6, 7, whatever it is, and that, you know, they're elected individually, bar the Alliance Party. They have two members, so they do, but the rest are all individual councillors. And if I think they were allowed on, I think them two that didn't want to be involved in it maybe would have grounds legally to challenge it. How are they getting on? We didn't. So our party can't support it.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Walker.
See you tomorrow.
I don't know who that was, but hopefully they see them tomorrow. Right, so I see a comment that Councillor Enright is not able to get back into teams. He is down as a seconder and a question.
I made contact now.
Okay, we'll
contact with him now, Chair.
We can go back to him. I'm just seeing. Councillor Lewis, you have a question.
Hello, Chair. Sorry, no, it was a comment on the proposal. Look, I can see the merit in letting the Alliance group it in. If that's solely what the proposal was, I would be happy to back that. Because they are a party, they sought a political mandate. They do have roughly about 4,000 votes spread across the council area. Unfortunately, where I feel to support is independent members becoming members of a technical grouping. If that was the way we were looking at it, there would be an offer to stop unionists from sort of joining and forming a technical grouping there to get more to get more roles and responsibilities in the council. I feel if somebody has stood as an independent and gained election through that, then that's what they are. But I would be prepared till back on Alliance Party grouping joining us. It is called a party reps group, but as far as a tackle group and joining, no.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Lewis. Just before bringing the other councillors in, I want to seek clarity from the officer. Councillor Enright had indicated to second, which I assume was to Councillor Brown's proposal. Given that he's not currently able to rejoin, we can't take that as a seconder at this time.
Yeah, Chair, he would need to be in the meeting. Well, he had already seconded, I suppose, on a technicality.
And he is trying to get back into the meeting there. He's just phoned me. He's having problems trying to connect. So we're... I think he technically has seconded it, Chair.
Okay, so we're happy that there's a proposer and seconder for Councillor Brown's proposal. Okay. All right. Just want to check that before I bring in other members. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I suppose I'll get ready for being accused of knocking Councillor Enright out as well, because I suppose my name's right through this document for reasons that's been known to me.
Hello.
In the letter. There's Cadogan in. Do you want me to step out?
I can't.
I just added you back in. Cadogan, yeah,
I can step out until he comes in if you want, or I can continue.
Continue. Go ahead. Sorry. I'll bring him in once he's ready.
Yeah. First and foremost, and I've said this, I think, you know, until I'm blue in the face, 4 or 5 times this has popped up and I've said the same thing. I mean, I welcome independence and alliance working together in order to form a technical group. But this, the way that was opened up by Councillor Brown, again, with a sense of sheer arrogance, and I'm not apologising for saying that, because when you talk about, you know, being blocked and parties blocking alliance on this group, as they're a threat to other parties in upcoming elections. I mean, I lose no sleep thinking about upcoming elections. We're elected to work in this council term. We're given a mandate to advance things in this council term. And that's what I'm involved in doing. So I think the past technical group went about the formation of the group in the right way. The past technical group was formed in the correct manner to work cohesively together as a unit. It had the backing of all independent reps. It may not have had all independent reps acting on the group formally, as two of the independent reps only were involved for communication purposes, but they agreed with the terms of reference of the group. And the terms of reference of that previous group had some inconsistencies in it that I, as group leader of the SDLP, wouldn't have supported. I mean, it talked about that if Alliance fall from the previous technical group, there'd be a party on their own, right? I mean, I think that's an issue that needed cleared up. But in independence fall, they would not be able to be represented in their own right. Yet Councillor Riley was represented in his own right as an independent. So I think there was issues with that previous group. But the main point, and Councillor Walker had touched on it, is the previous group had the backing of all independents, even if they didn't formally sit on it. Now, on this email that is attached and the terms of reference, the SDLP can support the terms of reference that's in front of us. I mean, on the independence that's not involved in the group, it says Councillor Gibbons and Reilly have been invited, but declined, and can join on the terms of reference attached at a future date. Does Councillor Reilly and Gibbons agree with the terms of reference that are attached? And, you know, if they're going to be able to join at a future date. It also states in the terms of reference that members can leave the technical grouping and the group still continues. Members can come back in. So it's sort of in, out. Two people can leave within 48 hours and the group still continues, but that person can't sit on it in their own capacity. I mean, it's cobbling the group together in order to try and get on certain boards and groups in the council. And I think the group isn't cohesive itself. The main point that I do have, and I have to raise this, it states here, they will become a member of the party reps meeting, which Councillor Brown says is an agenda-setting body, which, I mean, that's way over and above the remit of it. It's a discussion parties and party reps to discuss political issues. And other relevant positions. I mean, those words are so ambiguous. Other relevant positions. Are we stating here tonight that the technical group can be formed without the knowledge of the two independents that don't sit in it, without knowing if they're happy with it, and they could bring up an EQIA, as Councillor Walker said, of how they're being negatively treated from this. And these other relevant positions means that they are then above both unionist parties in importance. What are these other relevant positions that they would qualify from being a group of five? I mean, these terms of reference were cobbled together in 20 minutes. They don't make sense compared to the previous terms of reference. They mean the group can go down to one and stay, you know, so we can't accept the terms of reference as they are. I have no problem if they go back and come back with revised terms of reference that actually makes a bit of sense, but the SDLP won't be supporting what's in front of us here today.
Okay. Councillor Murray.
Yeah, a lot of what our party's view is has been articulated already by Billy and later by Pete. I suppose just the way we looked at it, that you've got a group of independents who are all elected on their own mandate. You've got a variety of different political opinions without going in. Like, you've got Henry Reilly here, you've got Mark Gibbons, you've got Gavin Malone, then you've got the Alliance, and I can see Patrick Brown, he wants to get on this party reps forum, and that's fine. And as other councillors have said, you know, if there was a third councillor, they would definitely get on. They would meet the criteria that's been set. You know, but trying to piece together, I think it was, I don't know which of the councillors said, if there was three independent councillors not part of his group, I'm not telling a lie. You can see Patrick misusing the comments page again. As just typical Patrick. But Patrick will make himself out to be the victim in this. Let's not make it about Patrick. Let's not make it about anybody. I'm saying if there was two or three independent councillors left out of this cabal, they could set up their own working group again then and use the exact same criteria to get on this year, and we'd just be going around in circles. So for many reasons, you know, we're not excluding the Alliance in any way. We're not trying to block the Alliance party. Let them go about it in a different way. Let them go and get a third councillor and come back. We hope you support it.
All right, and I would remind members that, as I said at the start of the meeting, the instant messaging is only for your P, your S, and your Qs, and refrain from comments. So is Councillor Enright, are you back in with us? You may be on mute, Councillor Enright, if you are.
He should be.
He is there, yeah. You're on mute, Councillor Enright. You're not on. Where'd you go? I can see him on the side.
How's that?
Actually,
yeah,
no.
We can hear you, yeah.
Thank you. Well, I think I got knocked out by Microsoft Teams when you were talking about the legal aspect of it. Has that moved on, or are we talking about the original subject of the...
So we're back out of closed session, so the legal advice has been discussed and we're back in public session. So it's just in relation to Councillor Brown's proposal of the inclusion of the technical group, which you have seconded.
All right. Well, I'll not touch on council legal advice then, since we're out of closed session. But I would say we did consult with the Committee for the Administration of Justice, and they've taken a number of cases against councils in Northern Ireland, particularly Lisburn. And their feeling was that not having any quality impact assessment on discontinuing the original terms of reference for independence and alliance warranted a potential judicial review. But putting that aside for the moment, I just pick up on some of the incorrect statements made by other councillors. The terms of reference that are being used for this group are the same ones that were put forward for the last group, and it was Liam Hannaway who insisted that all independents should be given the right to be a member of the technical group, regardless of whether they wanted to be a member or not, because he wished to avoid the possibility of having more than one group being formed. A precondition of the original terms of reference was there could only be one group, and we had to invite Henry Riley and I think Councillor Clark was an independent at one stage, to be members, and they had to indicate whether they wanted to be a member or not. So the terms of reference we're using now are the exact same terms of reference which we amended at the request of Liam Hannaway to ensure that they were inclusive and that Councillor Riley could be a member if he wished or if he did not wish to. We also had a situation where Councillor Riley might want to be a member and then might not want to be a member. So we couldn't dictate to him who should be a member or who shouldn't be a member of our group. So basically it's a voluntary group. There are five councillors signed up with. No other group under these terms of reference could be created because we previously agreed with the Chief Executive that, that the terms of reference allow for only one group to be created. And could I remind you all that these terms of reference worked very well for the first term of council, where we behaved in an orderly manner and we rotated our leadership year on year, and the leadership worked very well with one person representing both independents and the Alliance Party. So just to correct the misapprehension, this is the same terms of reference that was amended and agreed by Liam Hannaway.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Councillor Henry. Councillor Byrne, I'm just going to move to a vote. I'm not going to take you in because I think we've discussed the item enough. I think we're in a position to put Councillor Brown's proposal to a vote.
Record
a vote. Who was that from, sorry? Councillor Brown? Yeah. Okay. So we have a request for a recorded vote. Is Colette or Donna doing that?
Sure, I'm happy to call out the names if you want for the recorded vote.
Yeah, if that's good with me doing it.
Okay, so, Chair, you were asking members to vote on the... Do you want to just read out the proposal for members?
Yes, so the proposal from Councillor Brown is that the technical group, as detailed, be included in the party reps form. I think that's the wording of it.
Okay. So, Councillor, so if I can just, I'd only be calling out names, obviously, of the SPNR committee members, councillors. So, Councillor Brown?
For.
Councillor Byrne?
Against.
Councillor Dorn?
Against.
Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Gallagher, absent.
Absent.
Councillor Hanlon,
against.
Councillor Hyle,
against.
Councillor Lewis,
against.
Councillor McKee is absent. Councillor McGuinness,
against.
Councillor Murphy,
against.
Councillor O'Murray,
against.
Councillor Savage,
against.
Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
And Councillor Walker?
Against.
That's 2, 4, and 11 against. Yeah. So okay. That proposal's lost.
Okay. Councillor Brown, you're back in with a comment or question.
Yeah, Chair, given a couple of members mentioned that they would be open to considering having an Alliance Party on the forum, I'd like to propose that the two Alliance Party members are given a place on it.
Okay.
I'd second that.
Okay, so Councillor Byrne. Can't hear you.
I was coming in with the previous comment before Councillor Brown then came in with that, so I don't know if it moves it. My previous comment was, I mean, the focus is on, you know, STLP, Sinn Féin, DUP and UUP and all that block or allow. I mean, I can't say this anymore. It's not up to us. Go and talk to the two independent councillors that you haven't consulted with. You've asked them, they said absolutely no. Go and speak to those two independent councillors, and in that grouping, you can form your technical group. But certainly you have to keep stop coming back to this forum and trying to, for media headlines, come out with you're being blocked by any other political party. Just meet the criteria, speak to Councillor Gibbons and Councillor Riley, and have everybody on board. And the very, very last point, which is very important, Councillor Enright says the same terms of reference. It clearly isn't. The two councillors, Councillor Clark and Councillor McAteer, of the last terms of reference, signed up to agree to the terms of reference of the group and be involved for communication purposes, but not to formally sit in it. We have nothing from the other two councillors that they agree with this going forward or it negatively disadvantages them. So with them in mind, we can't be backing it. But can we not go around in circles and start proposing off the floor groups left, right and centre?
Okay. Councillor Murray?
Just to be absolutely clear as well, Chair, when I said that we would welcome the Alliance come back, I also said they just need their third councillor. So let's just be clear about that.
Okay. Councillor Walker?
Chair, thank you very much. And as I said, yes, the Alliance is a party in their own right. They need, I wouldn't have a problem. I know it's coming back and back and back. Problems have brought something forward. I wouldn't have a problem. But it just shows you here that Councillor Brown's, for it, and this has proved it, for his own gain, Councillor Brown is just going to abandon all the independents now to get the Alliance on. Now, they are a party, and legally a party, and I don't have a problem with that. They have a mandate, as someone said, they're well over 4,000 votes in the district, and that, yes, they have a good mandate, and that they have two councillors. They should have been fighting that, but it just shows you now, you know, the cat's out of the bag. It's for Councillor Brown's own political gain here, in a sense. Is it maybe because there's an assembly election coming up, and I'll say that, coming up, but, you know, he's just going to abandon them other independents who was going along with him. So them independents now need to take heed what's going on here.
Okay. All right. Folks, so we do have a proposal from Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Enright, for the inclusion of the Alliance two councillors to be part of the elected party reps form. So unless, I'm assuming that proposal still stands as not being withdrawn, we will need to put that to a vote.
Chair, can I ask on process? Can I ask on process how we're going ahead with a completely different paper? Because then the independent three people, that they can then propose after that to be a part of a group. I mean, bring a paper back to the next SPNR on the basis of that and have a terms of reference that we can actually go through. But I'm certainly not in the SDLB going to sign up to include groups with no terms of reference in front of us and completely involved in other boards. So now bring a paper back. Otherwise, you're going to have this going round in circles with the independents coming back with three people and then another independent grouping with two people and Henry Raley on his own. I mean, it's not, this is nonsense.
Okay. So yeah, I'll
just for clarity as well, Chair, the proposal regarding the Alliance members into the party reps forum will require an amendment to the terms of reference that exist currently for the party reps forum. So as it currently sits at, I think, three or a grouping of three or more. So just for clarity on that, Chair, as well.
Okay. So can I seek clarity on the process? Sure. Sorry, Councillor Savage.
Basically, I was just going to make the same point that Marie had made there. I think this will need a change to the terms of reference. So he's not comparing apples with apples here by Councillor Brown, by lobbing in and off the cuff. Sure, we could just have the vote tonight on the Alliance becoming part of that group. the whole ethos behind the discussion tonight and where the other constituted parties are coming from and constituted groups within it is that we have terms of reference, and other parties involved in that have to be comfortable that people coming to that table are meeting the terms of reference and meeting it properly. Now, just to come out on a whim and say, I'll sure you'll put the two Alliance councillors in, shows utter disregard for that process. So as Councillor Byrne has said, I fully support what Councillor Byrne has said. Come back with a proposal and we look at it. And that's the response that the SDLP are giving to this. We're not about shutting anybody out, but come back with workable proposals that meet the criteria and meet the working structure that's there. It's very simple. No point, no need for showboating. Just come back with something that makes sense. And we look at it. We're not about excluding people. It's about getting something that's workable, that we can get talking to people who are representative and people who are involved in a group. Otherwise, we're going to end up with people coming in and off potentially, and it'll look more like Lanigan's Ball than it will a technical group. So, Chair, I would agree with Councillor Byrne.
Okay, and I take your comments on board. I will see clarity from the officer of standing orders and due process that there is a proposal that has been seconded, that my understanding is we will need to take a vote on that, given it's been proposed and seconded, and we do go to a vote. Is that correct?
Chair, that will be correct, and sorry, Drina, I'm cutting in on you. The only thing I would say, for Councillor Brown's consideration, that if a decision is taken by the committee, then apologies, I don't have standing orders in front of me, and Drina, maybe you can keep me right, that this decision, if accepted by council, you couldn't take it back into council for a further 6 months. So Councillor Brown may wish to look at bringing a proposal next month to SPNR that can get full and due consideration. That's just a suggestion around how you could potentially deal with this.
Okay.
Take it off the table and bring it back, Chair.
So, I can only ask Councillor Brown if that is what he is wishing to do, is to withdraw his proposal.
Look, no matter what I propose, the goalposts will be moved on this, so I would rather it goes to a vote here and now, and if accepted, the terms of reference would have to automatically change.
Yeah, right.
Okay, all right, so we'll put it to a vote then.
Recorded vote.
A recorded vote.
Oh, don't worry, you'll get your headlights. Okay.
All right, Sir Savage, thank you. Go ahead, Drina.
So, Members, you're now being asked to vote on the proposal that the two Alliance members are permitted to join the Party Representatives Forum. So that's on the proposal of Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Enright. Councillor Brown, for or against?
For.
Councillor Byrne?
For clarity, before I actually vote on this, we're actually being asked to rip up the terms of reference from point 2 to 16 as well. It's not the way we do business, uninformed. Against.
Councillor Dorn?
Against.
Councillor Enright?
For clarity also, I think we will need to bring back the permission of the other two independents to the original proposal, but for.
So on the proposal for two Alliance group members, the proposal that you seconded, just for clarity, for or against?
Correct. I'm for.
For. Councillor Gallagher is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
Against.
Councillor Hyle?
Against.
Councillor Lewis?
For.
Councillor McKee is absent. Councillor McGuinness?
Against.
Councillor Murphy?
Against.
Councillor O'Murray?
Against.
Councillor Savage?
Against, Chair.
Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
Councillor Walker?
Against.
Okay, so that is 3, 4, and 10 against.
Okay, so
motion is lost.
Okay, that has lost then. So we need that has failed, so we don't need to move anything on that then, Drina. We can move on. Okay. All right, folks, we're going to move on then to the next item, which is the next items 11, 12, and 13 are just for noting, unless anyone has any particular questions in reference to those, we will duly note. Yep. Okay. And then if I can then item number 14. So the following items are deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. I need a proposer and seconder to go into closed session. Councillor Byrne and Councillor Murray, just for the recording, if you wouldn't mind just saying proposed and seconded, please.
Proposed, Chair.
Seconded.
Thank you very much, councillors. And I'll just wait for confirmation that we're good to go and switch on my light. Okay, just while we were in the committee, the following items were discussed. Item 14, the director recruitment, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Byrne, that elected members note the contents of the report and agree to nominate 3 elected members to be the shortlisting and interview panel for the recruitment of the new directors times 2. That members noted is the intention to put in place interim arrangements to facilitate the release of the incumbent neighbourhood services director. Item 15, the encroachment on Council lands at Circular Road, Castlewellan, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Howell, seconded by Councillor Murphy. The elected members agreed to approve the following recommendations. The elected members approve a transfer of the lands shaded yellow on the map attached hereto, Mr. and Mrs. McCartan, at the market value of £500, with the occupiers being responsible also for any legal and valuation fees. That no further action be pursued to obtain possession of the land shaded pink on the map attached hereto. The council's internal legal team recommend to the owner of number 40 that her ownership of the area shaded pink be regularised and that approval be given to a formal transfer of the area to her at no cost. Item 16, lands at the Windmill Business Park, Sainfield, has been deferred. Item 17, Shimna Flood Evaluation Scheme, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Howe, seconded by Councillor Murphy. It is agreed that Council facilitate access as per the proposed agreement to allow DFI to undertake the flood evaluation works. Item 18, Tourism Level Service Agreement, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. It is agreed to approve the following recommendations. Service level agreements that were approved in March 2020 with Mourns Heritage Trust, St Patrick's Visitor Centre and Outdoor Recreation NI for the delivery of projects and services within the 2020-21 financial year are continued with council funding as planned. Service level agreements with Downpatrick Railway Society and Kilkeel Development Association receive no further payments made at this time, and officers work with both groups to identify improvements in delivering against objectives. Item 19, the reopening of museums, agreed on the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, is agreed to approve the reopening of the council's 2 museums in compliance with the current government guidelines in a phased manner commencing in October 2020. And then item 20, Chief Executive Appraisal 2019-2020, is agreed to note the contents of the officer's report. And item 21 refers to item 4 on the agenda. Okay, members, that is the end of the meeting. Thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you.